Genesis chapter number 37, let's begin reading at verse number 12. The Bible says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan." I want to draw your attention back to the 15th verse, if I could. And in the 15th verse of Genesis 37, I want to encourage you to mark one word, and it's the word wandering. The word wandering. In verse 15, it says, "And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field." I wonder this morning if there's ever been a time in your life when you've been out on a hike, maybe on vacation. Maybe you just decided, I'm going to take a little walk about and wander around. Or maybe there's a time that you and your family got in a car and you were in a different city and you began to drive around, and you, whether you were hiking or whether you were walking, you got to a place where you were lost. And in the midst of you trying to find your way back, you drove and drove and tried to make all the right turns and recognize landmarks, and but to no avail, you came back and ended up right back where you started from. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It's only happened to me several times, but it is frustrating to say the least when we are lost and we try to find our way and we end up walking around in circles. Well, in 2009, German scientists sought out to prove whether or not it was human nature for us to try to walk in circles. And they did multiple experiments. And one of the experiments that they did was in a large flat forest in Germany. And a follow-up experiment that they did was in the Sahara Desert. And they took people out and they set them in the forest and they set them in the desert and they told them to walk as far as they could in a straight line. Surprisingly, most people were able to walk during the daylight in a straight line. They may have veered off a little bit, but they put GPS trackers on them and they could follow exactly where they went. But something interesting that they found out, when they took those same people and they placed them in the same environment at night, when the moon was not visible because of cloud cover, those same people who were able to walk straight in the day repeatedly walked around in circles at night. Many times, even in the Sahara Desert, they said that they would walk around and walk over their own footsteps and not even realize that they had just cut a big circle from where they were. The research that they concluded was this, that it is human nature for us to walk around in circles, and that without something like the sun or the moon or a mountain to guide us and to help us calibrate what is straight, it is our nature to veer off of the path. May I make a spiritual application this morning and say that the same is true in our walk with Christ. If you and I aren't able to keep our eyes fixed and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, then our life and our spiritual walk is prone to naturally veer off course. We're naturally prone to walk around in circles and not make the progress that God desires for us to make. However, as we look at this story that we find here in Genesis chapter 37, we find something else that's interesting. We find out that even sometimes in our Christian life, even when we have our eyes fixed on Christ and we're trying our best to do everything the right way, we're trying to serve God to the best of our ability, even in the midst of that set of circumstances, sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we're wandering through life, lost and not sure what direction it is that we should go. Here in Genesis chapter 37, that's the exact situation that Joseph finds himself in. Jacob, Joseph's father, had asked him to go and to check on his brethren who had gone to Shechem to feed their flocks. And Joseph goes and does exactly what it is that his father asked him to do. But as we come to verse number 15, we find Joseph wandering in the midst of the field. And so this morning, I want us to spend some time very quickly and look into this passage about how Joseph found himself wandering, and more importantly, how Joseph got back on the right path. So may God help us this morning as we look into His precious Word. The first thing I want you to make note of is this. Let's talk for a moment about Joseph's directions. Let's talk for a moment about Joseph's directions. As we come to Genesis 37, as I mentioned to you, Joseph has been left behind. Joseph was the son of Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons and he had a daughter. And Joseph's 11 other brothers have taken their flocks down to Shechem and they're feeding them. And Joseph has been left behind. And Jacob goes and says, I want you to go and check on your brothers down at Shechem. And so Joseph gets these directions from his father. And even in this simple thing of him getting these directions, God teaches us something very important about how you and I are to receive instructions from the Lord. So let's talk very quickly about it. Notice, first of all, I want you to see his proximity to the father. Notice Joseph's proximity to the father. Jacob has something that he wants to tell his son. And when he goes to tell him, when we read it in Scripture, it says in verse 13, it says, in Israel, who is Jacob, it says, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flocks in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. When Jacob had something that he wanted to tell his son Joseph, Joseph lived in proximity to where his father didn't have to send a servant out to try to go find him. He didn't have to wait and send a search party out to try to go find his son. No, Joseph lived in close proximity to where his father, when he wanted to tell him something, he could just speak to him and he could hear it. The lesson for you and I is this, that you and I should live a life so close to our Heavenly Father that when He has something that He wants us to do, He can simply speak to us and He doesn't have to work on us. He doesn't have to draw us in from not being close to where He is. We should live a life of devotion dedicated to Him, always in fellowship with the Lord, so that we are ready to receive the directions that God has for our life. But I not only want you to see that he was in proximity to the Father, notice secondly, I want you to see his passion to follow. Secondly, I want you to see his passion to follow. Joseph had a passion to obey his father. You say, now, Pastor, how do you derive at that conclusion reading this passage of Scripture? Well, look in verse 13. Earlier on in verse 13, Joseph gets instructions from his father, but notice his response at the end of the verse. At the end of the verse, he says, and he said to him, here am I. Here am I. Jacob says, Joseph, I want you to go check on your brothers down in Shechem. And Joseph's response to his father is, here am I. In common vernacular, he basically says, Daddy, if that's what you want me to do, then that's exactly what I'm ready to do. I'm ready to do it right now. There was no arguing. There was no fussing. There was no, man, I don't want to do this. Send somebody else to do that. That's a stupid task. Dad, don't you know who I am? I've got more important things to do than something as simple as go down there and check on my brothers who don't even half like me, and I don't even half like them. Send somebody else to do that. There was none of that. But rather, when God asked him, or when his father asked him to do something, he did it. And may I say that the picture that we see here is the same way that you and I should respond when God asks us to do something. It's the same exact expression that is used in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, when it says that God said he won't look for somebody that he could send. And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Our attitude towards God should be whatever it is that He asks us to do, no matter how big or how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem, our attitude should be, yes, Lord, here am I. I have a passion to follow the directions that you have for my life. But notice the third thing about Joseph's directions. Thirdly, I want you to see his punctuality to the field. Thirdly, we see his punctuality to the field. Notice the way that this reads. In verse 13, he gets the instruction. At the end of verse 13, he says, here am I, I'm ready to go. And then in verse 14, he gets a little bit more instructions. And then at the end of verse 14, it says, and he came to Shechem. Joseph didn't dilly-dally. Joseph immediately, when God had spoken, or when his father had spoken to him, he immediately obeyed. And when God speaks to us, we should not delay to obey. May I say that our delay to obey is honestly disobedience. If God speaks to your heart and says, I want you to do this. I want you to pray more. I want you to serve more. I want you to give more of yourself. Then we should immediately try to follow that. We should be punctual in our obedience to the Lord. We should desire to follow the Lord. That's the lesson that we learned from Joseph. And honestly, it's the same message that we looked at a few weeks ago, and the message that we looked at called Always Forward. Remember the disciples, the potential disciples that came to the Lord Jesus and said, we will follow you. We're ready to follow you. And he says, no, you're not ready to follow me because you want to go and wait till your family dies, and that could be any number of years before that happens before you follow me. You want to go back to your buddies and your home people and tell them goodbye, and who knows how long that would take, and you're not ready to follow me. Jesus didn't want his disciples to delay. Jesus says, no, the time is now. We have to obey now. And the same thing is true back here in Genesis chapter 37. Joseph obeyed God and obeyed his father immediately, and you and I should obey God immediately. Notice the second thing this morning. We've seen Joseph's directions, but notice secondly, Joseph's dilemma. Notice secondly this morning, Joseph's dilemma. When verse 14 ends, it ends with Joseph leaving the vale of Hebron and coming to Shechem. But when we get to verse number 15, verse 15 says, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. So when verse 14 ends, Joseph is leaving, following his father's instructions, but when we get to verse 15, Joseph is wandering around in a field. How did this happen? How did this dilemma arrive in his life? Well, let me point out three things to you about Joseph's dilemma. Notice, first of all, the purity of his course. The purity of his course. Joseph may be wandering when we get to verse 15. He may be lost and he may not be able to find his brethren, but it is not because Joseph did anything that was wrong. Joseph had done exactly what his father had asked him to do. In verse 14, if you'll note, it says that he sent him out of the vale of Hebron and he came to Shechem. Here is a picture, a map that may give you an idea of the journey that he was on. He left from Hebron, and then he traveled up past Bethel, past Jerusalem, which is not pictured here, but it's past Jerusalem, and on up to Shechem. It would have been a journey of about 49 miles from Hebron to Shechem. And there is absolutely nothing in Scripture that gives us any idea or any hint that Joseph stopped anywhere along the way. The idea that is pictured and the picture that God paints for us is that Joseph was in Hebron, he got the instruction of his father, and he left immediately and went straight past Bethel, straight past Jerusalem, and straight to Shechem, where his brothers were supposed to be feeding their flocks. He went exactly where he was, did exactly what he was supposed to do, the purity of his course. That leads us to a second thing, the perplexity of his circumstances. The perplexity of his circumstances. The sheer fact that his course was pure, the sheer fact that he had done exactly what Jacob had asked him to do, is what made his current circumstances of wandering in the field so perplexing. I mean, if he had gone out and he had stopped for a little siesta in Jerusalem, if he had stopped at Bethel for a little bit of time and saw some friends, and then he shows up six or eight days a week later to Shechem, you could understand why he would be wandering in the field and they weren't there. But the reality that he went exactly where he was supposed to go and did exactly what he was supposed to do is perplexing. And you can almost see in your mind's eye, Joseph, this young man out in the middle of this field, and he's wandering around. He's looking on the ground trying to find evidence if he can tell where the herd had gone, if he can follow the tracks to try to figure it out. He is lost. And he thinks to himself, how can this be? Where in the world have they gone? Why are my brothers not here? Why can I not find them? He had to be filled with frustration. The longer he looked, the more frustrated he got. He must have been mad at himself. Man, I guess I should have got here earlier. He might have been mad at his brothers. Maybe my brothers didn't even go to Shechem. Maybe they lied to my daddy. Maybe they didn't even come down here. Maybe they're somewhere else. They could be anywhere. Not only was he filled with frustration, he was probably filled with fear. What am I going to do? I've looked around on the ground and I've tried to follow these tracks and I can't make heads or tails of it. I can't figure out where they've gone. I don't know where they are. I don't even know where to start. Remember, he's out in the middle of a field. He's not in the marketplace. He can't follow a road sign. He finds himself in a perplexing situation. And what is the most frustrating thing is that there's no justifiable reason to him why he ought to be where he's at. Have you ever been in that place in your life? Have you ever been in that situation? Well, if you haven't, then you're going to, I promise you. Because what we see here is the picture of a Christian. We see the picture of a Christian. What Joseph is experiencing is something that you will experience in the Christian life if you're serious about walking with God. What I mean by that is there will be times in your life when you're obeying God. You're doing everything that you should do. Man, you're faithful to church. You're faithful to serve in the church. You're faithful to giving. You're faithful in your private time. You're faithful in your devotions. You're faithful to pray for people. You do things for other people. You're trying to grow in your faith. You're taking steps of faith. I mean, you're doing everything. You'd be the model example of a believer. But just like Joseph, there will be times when you're walking along trying to do everything that your heavenly Father has told you to do, and you'll be just like Joseph. You'll almost suddenly come upon and think, I don't know where in the world I'm supposed to go. And I don't know why in the world it hasn't worked out. Why is it not here? It's not supposed to be this way. I've been obeying. I've been doing what I should do. I should be blessed. I should be thriving. But instead, I'm lost and I'm wandering around and I don't know what to do and I don't know which direction to go. One of the greatest biblical examples of that is Job. The Bible says that Job was a perfect and upright man who eschewed evil, meaning that he pushed evil away. But yet all of a sudden, in one day, Job's life turned around. Job didn't receive all of those things because he was in sin. And Job had no idea that God had chosen him. In the midst of him going through that, he saw the loss of his livestock. He saw the loss of his children. He saw the loss of the support of his spouse. And here he stands, serving God, doing everything that he's supposed to do, but he cannot figure out where in the world God is and what's going on. It's part of the Christian life. And may I say to you, when you're going through it, it is very frustrating. The word wandering that's used here in verse 15 is the Hebrew word ta'ah. And it literally means to go astray or to stagger. And when you study that word, it has several connotations. It has a connotation meaning someone who is intoxicated and that person straying or staggering off in a drunken stupor. It also has a connotation of wandering because of error or because of sin. Another connotation of that word is that it is wandering because of a lack of focus. You know, sometimes children are that way. Some of you parents and myself, well, you can attest, children have no focus at all. They have no attention span. And you take them out in public and they will just run off anywhere. And if you turn your back for a second, you'll be like Joseph wandering in the store going, where is my child? Even Elizabeth, God love her, she can take off in a heartbeat and you don't know where she is. There's all these different connotations. But may I say to you that that's not the kind of wandering that Joseph's experienced. Joseph isn't wandering in the field because he's intoxicated. Joseph's not wandering in the field because he's lost focus. Joseph's not wandering in the field because he's in sin and disobedient to what his father had asked him to do. He's just physically wandering around in the field. And sometimes that's exactly where we find ourselves. You say, Pastor, if I'm wandering this morning, how do I recover from being in a wandering state? Well, I want you to notice the third and final thing. And the third and final thing I want you to see is Joseph's deliverer. Joseph's deliverer. Joseph's wandering around in the field, doesn't know what to do. But God sends him a deliverer. And notice three things about it. Notice, first of all, his deliverer's arrival. His arrival. Verse 15, it says, and a certain man found him. and behold, he was wandering in the field. I love that expression. A certain man found him. Joseph didn't find this man. This man found him. You know, when you're lost and you don't know what to do, you need somebody to come find you. Because you know what happens? The more you wander around trying to find yourself, the harder it is for somebody else to find you. So trying to find somebody for help, sometimes you cause yourself and your situation to become worse. The best thing we can do and the best advice I can give you, if you're here this morning and you're wandering in a situation that you don't understand and you're just like Joseph, you say, Pastor, I've been obeying God, I've been trying to do everything I can do, and here I am smack dab in the middle of a field of confusion and frustration that's causing me all kinds of fears that I don't understand, the best advice I can give you is to wait right there. Quit trying to find your way out. Quit trying to find somebody else and let God send you a deliverer. Because what God did for Joseph is he sent this man exactly where Joseph was. He came to where Joseph was. Joseph didn't have to go to where he is. And may I say that's exactly what God does for us. Is that not exactly what God did for us when we were lost in our sins without hope? He sent Jesus Christ to this earth right where we were, and he made a way to deliver us. He'll do the same for you. And it may not be in flashing lights. It may not be somebody driving up, blowing the horn, saying, hey, I'm here to deliver you. The Bible doesn't even give us this deliverer's name. It just says a certain man. We may not know his name, but I know one thing. Joseph was sure glad to see him show up that day because he needed some help. And without this man arriving, he had no help. We see the deliverer's arrival. Notice, secondly, I want you to see his approach. What happens when the deliverer shows up? When the deliverer shows up, in verse 15, it says, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? Verse 16, and he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. When this man comes, he asks Joseph a question. He inquires at the need that Joseph has. He says, what do you seek? What seekest thou? And what does Joseph do? He communicates with this man to let him know what his need is. Verse 16, he tells him and he asks him for help. He says, do you know? He said, tell me, where have my brethren gone? Again, I see a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this. God has given us an open invitation to come to us. He's given it to us time and time and time again in his word. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Ye have not because ye ask not. The invitation is there. But the problem is, so many times when you and I find ourselves wandering, is we're asking anybody and everything else. We're focused on trying to figure it out ourselves to so much to extent that we fail to ever communicate our needs to the one that can truly deliver us. If you're wandering this morning in a field of your own frustration and own circumstances of your life, I'd not only encourage you to wait right there where you are for God to deliver you, but I would also encourage you, secondly, to start praying and asking God and sharing with God exactly what it is that you stand in need of. Because had Joseph ignored this man, had Joseph blowed this guy off and he comes walking up and says, hey, what can I do for you? He says, don't bother me, man. I'm trying to find my way. Leave me alone. I'll figure it out. You say, Pastor, that's stupid. What is dumb? But may I say to you this morning, isn't that kind of what we do with the Lord sometimes? Don't we get ourselves in a situation we don't understand, we don't know why we're at, we don't know how to get out of, and God offers an invitation through a song on the radio to remind us, hey, I'll help you. He offers an invitation through the pastor preaching a message. Hey, I'll help you. He offers an invitation on Wednesday night Bible study. Hey, I'll help you. He offers an invitation through a Sunday school class. Hey, I'll help you. But we're so focused in on ourselves trying to fix the problem, it's almost as if we do in this illustration, God, leave me alone. I'm trying to work this out. God, don't mess with me. God, I ain't got time to pray. I got to figure this out. No, no, no. We've got to follow Joseph's example and communicate with our deliverer. I wonder how often God is there waiting to help us. But because we never ask Him, we never take the time to express what our true heart's desire is, we fail to get His deliverance. Notice the third and final thing I want you to see this morning, and that's His assistance. Notice His assistance. This man arrived, came where Joseph was. He approached him. Joseph interacted in a conversation with him. In verse 16, he says, or verse 17, it says, and the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. This man, this deliverer, had the answers that Joseph desperately needed to end his wandering. And may I say to you this morning, God has every answer that we need to end our wandering. Joseph needed this man's help. And there's no doubt in my mind that God sent him to Joseph to help him. And the message today is this. Maybe you're here and you're doing all the right things and you're doing the best to follow the Lord, but you still find yourself wandering. You don't know where to go next. If that's you this morning, I want you to be encouraged. Because God didn't leave Joseph helpless, and He's not going to leave you helpless. God wants us to know His will, and He wants us to know the way that He has for us. And God will send a deliverer right to where you are, and He will help you to get back where you need to be on the right path. Our work is to keep our eyes and our ears open. So when God does send a deliverer to help us, we'll recognize it and we can end our wandering. Let's pray together.